Well, he's no ordinary God, is he? I'm thankful that he's not the creation and work of our hands, but that he is an amazing God. He is extraordinary and he works in extraordinary ways. And I'm thankful to know him. I'm thankful to have the privilege to serve such a mighty God. I'd like to begin this morning and ask for your prayers. I'd like to begin in the book of Titus. The epistle of Paul written unto Titus gives a lot of instruction throughout this book. And I'd like to begin in the second chapter and read the first verse. Bespeak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Burden that the Lord's been talking to me about through this week is about sound doctrine. He wrote unto Titus and said to Titus, as a minister, as a servant of Jesus Christ, as he was, he called him my own son after the common faith. He left Titus in Crete. There were some things that were wanting, some lacks, and some needs that there were there, that he should set that in order. And he gave him the instruction to speak that which becomes sound doctrine. And then the scriptures that we read that follows that gives practical everyday application of godly principles of the doctrine of Jesus Christ and of the way that that shows itself in day-to-day living. I'm thankful that this isn't just a philosophical exercise or religion. We come together on Sundays and we maybe read together of some new theory. The Athenians, the scripture says, were those who spent their time doing nothing else but to hear or to tell of some new thing, of some new doctrine, of some new teaching, of some new idea. But the scripture says that there are those that ever learn and never come to a knowledge of the truth. That it's not just about ideas and philosophies. Those abound in our world today. There are many philosophies. There are many ideas. There are many influences that pervade our world today. There are many things that a man like Titus would have been exposed to in his upbringing and his surrounding. But he tells them when it comes to ministering of the things of God, Titus, this isn't about what you think. It's not about your opinions. It's not about if I can add it. This isn't a time for our own personal soapbox or what I think is needed or what I think is good. Sound doctrine has a more solid foundation than that. To be sound is to be whole. I'd like to read bit of the definition Webster gave us from 1828. To be sound is to be entire, unbroken, not shaky, split, or defective, undecayed, whole, or perfect, or not defective as sound fruit, a sound apple or melon, not bruised or defective, not lacerated or decayed as a sound limb, not carious or decaying like a sound tooth, not broken or decayed or defective as a sound ship, whole, entire, unhurt, unmutilated, as a sound body, healthy, not diseased, not being in a morbid state, having all the organs complete and in perfect action, as a sound body or sound health, a sound constitution, founded in truth, firm, strong, valid, solid, that cannot be overthrown or refuted, as sound reasoning, a sound argument, a sound objection, doctrine, or principles. Maybe that's enough of definition, I hope, to give us an idea of what is meant whenever it says sound doctrine. That which isn't missing, it's not defective, it's not partial. There's a song we sing, it's number 281, I believe, a prayer and song, speaks of the Word of God. It says, teach me from thy blessed word, lessons precious to my soul. Help me understand it, Lord. By it make and keep me whole. By thy word we stand or fall. By thy word we live or die. If by part and not by all, then we make thy word a lie. Another song that says, each commandment thou hast given is essential to our life. Yes. To have sound doctrine is not for us to pick and choose and like a buffet that I take what I want and I leave what I don't want and I kind of gloss over, or you know the saying that says ignorance is bliss? You know, some people, I believe, live their lives with that kind of mentality when it comes to the things of God. That I've built around me what my system of beliefs is, and the things that I want to believe is true. Maybe it's the things that I've heard, or the things that I've surrounded myself with people who teach and espouse and believe, and it's good enough for me. Don't disrupt it. I don't want you to bring anything. People become very defensive when the truth is presented to them if they don't have an honest heart. I've wondered sometimes why it is that, well, I've wanted to ask, I think I have some idea what the reason is. Why is it that other religions, other forms of government that denounce religion, the idea of God, why is it that they become so defensive and protective of what they have? Why they'll persecute those who would say anything of a different idea or belief? If what you have is so far superior, then why not let it just stand on its own merits? But there's something there of a defensiveness against truth and against the impact and influence that truth can have. Our words don't really mean a whole lot. My words here today don't mean a whole lot if they're not backed by something far stronger, far superior to anything that I can offer. There's not a whole lot of weight that I can throw behind my words. But the God of heaven puts all the weight in the world behind His words. There is a power to the Word of God. It is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It accomplishes, it cuts, it divides asunder, it opens up and reveals what's hidden down inside. And if there's a heart that's not honest and open and seeking for the truth, it'll often manifest itself in retaliation against what's perceived as the source of that truth or the person that's bringing that truth. Use the example of Jesus. The Pharisees, who should have been God's own people, who were looking for Jesus to come, the Messiah to come, who believed in the very prophecies that were fulfilled. Yet when the truth came and it began to expose who they were, they began to draw back and say, "This can't be the Messiah. This can't be the truth." We shut ourselves off from it. And then they began to go and try to find fault with the one who was speaking the truth, with Jesus. They began to tempt him, the scripture would say, asking him a question, tempting him, trying to get him to stumble in his own words so that they could find fault with him and say, "See, he's not what he says he is," and be able to discredit the entirety of what he said. It is so important for us to build our lives on something more solid than just a hope. I'm not talking about an eternal hope. The kind of hope that says, "I hope this is right." We need something more solid and more sure. In a time where the philosophy is popular that you believe your own truth. You know, isn't that it's a misnomer. It's a misuse of the word truth. They're imposing the word truth because they want to be able to have a seeming an appearance of authenticity or a weight that should go behind it. And so they want to say, "Well, this is my truth." It may not be your truth. You have a different truth. Can a truth say two opposite things? Would that truth stand on the witness stand whenever it's being examined and cross-examined by the prosecutor or whoever is examining the trial, the witness and the testimony? So our witness has to be more sure, more solid. We've got to have sound. And the scripture here talks about sound speech. Good works, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed. You can know that there will be those that are of the contrary part. We're to live and order our lives in such a way that we don't invite that. Scripture talks about if you suffer persecution for the gospel's sake, happy are you. But if you suffer it for your own sake, I don't remember just how it words it, there's no glory in that. If you bring it upon yourself, so may our speech, may our conversation be that which is sound, that's whole, that people looking on it wouldn't have to say, "Well, what's that? It's lame. It's not. There's something missing here. It doesn't ring true. It sounds hollow. It sounds out of tune." Sound speech. It cannot be condemned. This doctrine produces fruit in the life. I want us to remember the sound doctrine produces sound fruit in our lives. It'll manifest itself in practical ways in our everyday life. This gives just some examples to the aged women, to the aged men, to the young men, to the young women, to the servants. The last verse that we read says that they may adorn the doctrine of God. By their conduct, by the way they're living, that we can make beautiful the way of God. You know, that's what every one of us are called to. Whether we stand behind a pulpit like this and proclaim the gospel, every one of us are proclaiming something through our lives. Oh, may it be that which is sound, which is whole. It would be beautiful to an honest heart that looks on. I'd like to look at Isaiah, the first chapter. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 5. Why should ye be stricken anymore? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. That's a sad condition for a nation to be in. The one who looks on and knows the secrets of the heart, knows what's going on behind the hidden counsels of man, and looks on it and makes an assessment. Folks, he is a physician, the great physician that never misdiagnoses. He never looks upon us and makes an incorrect assessment, as man might do, as the doctors might do, and the best that they know how to do. They might misdiagnose and say, I think this is the problem. And they don't fully deal with it. But the Lord looks down and he can assess and understand if there are some places in our belief system, personally, collectively, in my life, it's missing, that's hollow, that's bruised and not whole. The Lord wants us to have a soundness within us. Think about the doctrine. What is doctrine? It's not a real popular word. There are lines of people saying, I want to learn the doctrine. Sometimes it has a negative connotation to it. Oh, talking about doctrines again. You know, if that's the way that we view doctrines, either the doctrines that we're adhering to personally are not sound, or the way I'm looking at it and it's within me that's not sound. Because the doctrines of God are not heavy. They're not chains. They're not oppressive. They're not that which deprives us in life. If we embrace the doctrines of God, we'll not get to the end of our lives and say, boy, I sure missed out. I was sure shortchanged by embracing and loving the doctrines of God. Neither are doctrines some standalone identity of the church of God. There's a song in our book, number 6. It says in verse 2, the Bible is our rule of faith, and Christ alone is Lord. We sing some of these songs so often, some more, some less. But may the message of these never be lost to us. Because this isn't the default in the church world. This is not the standard or the norm in the church world. In Christendom, this isn't the norm. The Bible is our rule of faith. Well, there is almost always some amount of homage that's paid to the Bible. But if you all remember in the book of Revelation, it talks about the two witnesses that are lying out in the street. They're dead. There's no life to them. It doesn't have practical life-giving force or influence in their lives. But it's still there. It still has an outward form to it. It's not enough for us to just give lip service to the Word of God. Jesus talked about the Pharisees, and he said that they teach for doctrines the commandments of men. And he wasn't giving them accolades for that. That's not enough. The commandments of men, the ideas of men, is not solid enough for us to stand on. It's not going to stand the test of time. Our belief system has to be more solid than that. And the doctrines of the Church of God are more solid than that. They're not the doctrines of mankind. They aren't. Now we're to examine ourselves individually and collectively against the Word of God and say, is this true in the way it's expressed among us? There is no higher authority than the Word of God. It is, as in our court, the Supreme Court is the end-all be-all. Once the decision has been made, there's no higher authority in our land within the legal system than that. So the Word of God is our rule of faith. We don't need any other creed. We don't need to publish a book apart from the Word of God that says we need to give you our doctrines. We need to define the doctrines of the Church of God. Now, I'm not discounting the value of instruction, whether it be spoken or it be written instruction. But there is no standalone creed, as many churches of man have, that this is our creed book. You go to this and you see what you have to do to be a member in good standing. We have a creed book that we must subscribe unto to be a member in good standing. But do you know how that creed book was established? It wasn't founded by a minister's meeting of the ministers coming together and saying, by consensus vote, we're going to determine what the doctrines of the Church of God are. You can sometimes glean interesting or helpful pieces of information by going back and studying what the early church fathers, as they're called, what they wrote. There's sometimes interesting tidbits there that shed some contextual light on the early centuries of the church. But let me tell you, what they wrote is not the creed. What they wrote, and it wasn't very long before Satan began to introduce false doctrine. It wasn't very long before he began to introduce some leaven. How long did it take? We can answer that by saying, who warned about it? You remember what Jesus said? He bade them to take heed of the leaven of the Pharisees. And he explained to them that this isn't about a loaf of bread. They began to understand that he talked to them of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. There were influences that were starting to try to infiltrate. In the time of Paul, do we see the same? Throughout so much of his writing, Paul was dealing with false prophets. He was refuting false ideas of people who would come in and introduce and teach for doctrine the commandments of men. Those who would forbid to marry. Those who would come in and teach some other aesthetic means of living and present it as being godliness. That's not what it is. The only soundness that will be in our teaching is if we go back to the Word of God, and it's founded and based upon the Word of God in its entirety. It's not enough for us to go back to the writings of the 1880s. As much as the Lord blessed the brethren of that time and the light that He shed on the pathway, it is not enough for us to go back and say, there's our foundation. We must go back to what thus saith the word of the Lord. What we teach must not be extracted and pulled out of context, and we can establish some doctrine of the Church of God. What we find that many times happens in our world today, there are many, many church organizations and church groups. And as with a business where the market is saturated, what I mean by that, you've got somebody that's producing widgets. If there are 100 other companies producing widgets, you've got to do something that distinguishes your widget from all the others, that makes it stand out and be different. So many times church organizations and groups will establish their identity on their creed, on what doctrine it is that they hold that makes them different. If we stand on the Word of God and our lives are conformed in godliness to the Word of God, we're not going to have to go try to make ourselves different, make ourselves stand out. We will stand out. The Lord working through us will give the distinction to the world around us. So from whence comes our doctrine? 2 Timothy, the third chapter. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 16, start with the 14th verse. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, may be whole, may be sound, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The word of God is profitable to us. Doctrine is important for us today. Doctrine is, it's the teaching of the Word of God. It is the teaching of what Christ came and delivered unto us. Let's not be afraid of doctrine. Let's not be afraid to learn, to hear, to study. And Lord, help us to teach and to preach the doctrines of the Word of God. Not to make an assessment and think, well, I don't think this doctrine is really so needful or this one's really so necessary. It is all given by inspiration of God whenever it's established on the Word of God. Psalms, the 11th chapter, it says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? We've got to have a foundation that cannot be destroyed by the philosophies of men, that cannot be destroyed by man's refuting and man's ideas in our world today. By the humanist, paganistic influences. It's got to be sound. And so Paul taught unto Timothy, unto Titus. He taught the Corinthians. He wrote to the Galatians. And over and over and over, he's warning them. Make sure you're established on something that's sound. Don't listen to those that would bring in some other gospel into you. Because you don't need another gospel. You need the one that was once delivered unto the saints. And that's what you're to earnestly contend for, to earnestly strive for. How earnestly today? Are we striving for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints? How much hunger do we have for the things of God? Mention about it not being very popular to give doctrine. The idea is that whenever you go and present Christ to the world, don't present the doctrine. Don't teach doctrine. You teach people that God is love, that He loves you, He died for you, and that's all a part of it. That's all an element of it. But we don't have to be afraid of the Word of God. We don't have to look on it in shame and say, oh, I better not say much about that. You know, there are some things that we may look on and say, that seems hard. Master, that's a hard saying. Maybe we better just kind of cover that one up. Let's just kind of ignore that one. There's a lot of mixed marriage situations in our world today. How are we ever going to reach the world if we teach that? If we hold on to that kind of a view, that it's one man, one woman, until death, and anything outside of that is adultery. That's not shh. And whether we would still give lip service to it or not. Folks, it's important that we do more than lip service. That we have a fervor, that we have a zeal for the things of God and the doctrines of God. Again, if we look on the doctrines of God as being oppressive, as being something to be ashamed of, as being something to hide in the corner, under a bushel, there's either something not sound in the doctrine or not sound in me. Because truth is not oppressive. Truth, what does it do for us? What did Jesus say? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Do we believe that today? Well, what is the truth? Is it one little sliver that I pull out? That's part of it. But if in part and not by in whole, we make thy word a lie, it is our duty, our responsibility, our call as the people of God, that we embrace the doctrines of the word of God. They are liberating. We say, well, maybe if they don't know about it, they won't be held accountable to it. The thought is often when you go out into the mission field, never touch doctrine. Just leave that alone. I've heard that kind of idea presented before. Just leave doctrine alone. Just give them just the surface. I don't believe that. I believe you must be led by the inspiration of God. You must be led by the Spirit of God. But folks, the doctrines, it makes us whole. It makes us sound. It's liberating. Whenever the Spirit of the Lord gives an honest soul understanding of the doctrine, there's a reason why He's given us. They're profitable in all things unto us. But the easier thing is to just subsist on a diet of milk. Does it mean that there's something wrong with milk? It doesn't, does it? We are as newborn babes to desire the sincere milk of the Word. But what is that to accomplish? That you may grow thereby. The milk of the Word is to give you enough to get you to the next level. But milk will only take you so far. The Lord wants us to be a people who are not just subsisting on milk. That, well, if you give anything that's solid, it might offend. And we're not to be a harsh and a critical people. We're not to come and take the doctrines of the Church of God as a club to use on people. There's no soundness in that. But the doctrines of the Word of God are useful, they're needful, they're necessary for us. Let's read a little bit about the doctrine. Isaiah 28, and I believe it's the 9th verse. Whom shall I make to understand doctrine. It says even those that are weaned from the milk. Will the Lord teach to understand doctrine? In other words, there's something more substantive now. Therefore, as Paul said, believe to the Hebrews, leaving the principles of the doctrine of God, let us go on into perfection. There's a place for the starting things. There's a place for the milk. There's a place for that. But there's also a place for us to go on unto perfection. There's a place for us now to begin getting something that's a little meatier for me. And it's only through that means that I'll develop the strength that I need, that milk alone cannot give, that the Lord wants to lead me into deeper areas and give me greater strength, that we won't get if I just kind of cocoon myself and say, well, I don't really understand that. Well, I'm not really sure about that. Oh, that's too deep for me. Do we just kind of back off and say, well, I'm just going to push that over in the corner? Or do I say, Lord, I want to understand. It's okay that I come to the Lord and say, Lord, there's some things here that aren't clear to me. But Lord, I want to understand your ways. I want to understand your doctrines. Lord, wean me off of the milk if that's where I'm at. 1 Timothy, Paul again writing unto Timothy. I want to look at a couple scriptures that are given in the 4th chapter. 1 Timothy 4 and 6, it says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. There are some things that aren't worth us spending the time debating and figuring out and entertaining. If it's not soundly based upon the Word of God, then we don't build our lives upon it. Refuse those things. Skipping down to the 13th verse, it says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which is given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. It is important for us, for our own sake. It is important for us, for our family's sake. It's not enough for us to just tell our children, we don't do this because. There's a time for that. There's a place for that. But there's also a place of getting to some milk or some meat from the milk. To start teaching to understand the principles and the doctrines. By giving attendance unto that. We're not just born. We are blessed if we're born into a godly home. It is an advantage unto us. But it's not going to automatically default that I'm going to have the understanding of the things that I was taught. I'm still going to have to give attendance. I'm still going to have to apply myself, perhaps just as much as somebody that never heard and that came to the truth. Yes, I have that advantage. I've had a knowledge of it being taught. But there comes a place that I've got to go beyond what brother and sister so-and-so taught this. Well, the church of God taught that. To an honest heart, the word of God and the doctrines of the church of God will withstand the scrutiny of an honest heart. You know, we need not be afraid or ashamed of the doctrines of the church of God, which are the doctrines of the word of God. We need not be ashamed of it, but we need to study to show ourselves approved. We may be ready, he said to him, to give to every man an answer of the hope that lies within us. Again, it's okay for me to come to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm not sure I understand that real well. I've been doing it. There have been things that I've been seeking the Lord. I know I've heard this. I've heard it taught. But Lord, I want a conviction deeper for myself. I want a greater understanding of this for myself. I'm going to need it. That your profiting may appear unto all. The Lord is faithful to teach those who are willing to be weaned from the milk, to teach them doctrine. Let's look at 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter. 2 Timothy 4, verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead of his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. Again, I want to, let's keep going. And they shall turn their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Again, I don't believe that we're to use the word of God or the doctrines contained therein as a club. We're not the measuring up committee. We can't get people to a certain place. We can't force that to happen. We can't force growth. We can't force understanding. But we do have a responsibility. He said unto Timothy, Timothy, you do your part. You preach the gospel. You teach it. Let it be known. And then the Lord takes it and he does his part to the honest soul. But he said the time will come that they will not endure sound doctrine. Folks, we don't want to see anybody walk away. I don't want to see anybody in here walk away from the Lord, walk away from sound doctrine. But we cannot compromise the standards of the Word of God. We cannot compromise the doctrines of the Word of God to try to retain, to try to attract numbers, to try to appeal to the world. We can't do it. If I be lifted up, Jesus said, and all that Jesus says, you see, the world likes so often to try to detach the idea of Christ from the identity of who he really was. Because Christ is what he taught. The doctrines that he taught is Christ. You can't separate the two. Lord, help us. That we hold on to and be established upon sound doctrine. It'll stand. I think also the scripture in Ephesians, I believe it is, it says that you be henceforth no more children, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. The winds are going to blow. We need something that's solid enough to withstand the winds. It can withstand the hurricane force winds in our world today. And I believe the Word of God will do that. I believe the Word of God will stand the test of time. I'm thankful today for the doctrines of the Word of God. They mean something to us. They're more than just a philosophy. It's more than just things that people attach themselves to or an identity we try to create. It must be more than that. There's more than just an idea and a philosophy to doctrine. Many people will acknowledge the importance of being forgiven. Many people will even acknowledge the doctrine of holiness. Many people will acknowledge that our God is able to do anything, that our God is able to heal. Many people will say there is something to modesty of apparel and dress. But sound doctrine produces sound fruit. It'll produce something that it looks like something. If I believe these things, it will manifest itself in my life. In the way I conduct myself, in the way I dress myself, in the places I go, in the way I trust myself to the Lord. it'll begin to manifest itself. And the Lord is the one that wants to teach us and give us understanding. If we're of honest hearts, to not shelter ourselves behind a cocoon of what I want to believe or the level of understanding that I'm comfortable with. If we'll reach out, if we'll seek after her, as Solomon said, as silver and as choice gold, the Lord will be faithful to give us understanding. And I'd like to look a little bit at how that thing comes. Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter, almost finished. Deuteronomy 32:1, give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. Isn't that a beautiful picture? The Lord knows how to accomplish with His word. He can take the tenderest of plants and flowers, and He knows how to send a gentle rain that's not going to crush and bowl it over and destroy it. He knows how to send the dew, that which condenses silently, quietly. You know, the Lord knows how to speak our language. The Lord knows how to speak to us when we get quiet and still before the Lord. And He starts to cause His words to distill as the dew. It doesn't seem like or look like something great, maybe, and majestic, but little by little, droplet by droplet, I start to gain understanding. And it starts to nourish and strengthen and feed. That's what the Word of God does. It does it to the honest heart. It doesn't crush. The Lord also knows how to send a heavy rain. All of that is the Lord's business. For it's His Word. It's why it's so important that we have present and active and preeminent among us both the Word and the Spirit working together in harmony to feed, to nourish, to challenge, to sweep away refuge of lies where they may exist. But it's the Lord's work. The book of Proverbs says it, so it'll be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. There's something life-giving in the Word of God. There's something that strengthens us. It fortifies us. David said, oh, how I love thy law. Folks, do we have a vision of the beauty of the doctrines of God's Word? Of the principles and the teachings of God's Word? I thank the Lord today for the Word that He sends forth to us. And how it's profitable to accomplish in our lives and in our assemblies what the Lord wants to accomplish. The Lord knows how to do it. And He doesn't need somebody through, not by might, nor by power. There are differences of administration. There are differences in personality. There are differences in delivery of messages. But the weight and authority of the Word of God is not founded in how hard I can pound the pulpit. It's not founded in how high I can jump, how loud I can proclaim it, how hard I can give it. That's not where the authority, that's not where the weight of the Word of God comes. It's the Lord's Word. And He has said in one place that it won't return unto me void. We have a responsibility to be open and honest in a heart that says, Lord, I want to learn Your principles and Your doctrines. I want to learn Your ways. And the Lord is faithful to us in that. You pray for me. Amen.